This is your only warning. This episode contains spoilers. So if you have not watched Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, listen to this next week.
APP Services, in association with Who1.co.uk, presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 131. I'm Adam, and with me this week is Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Is this your gang? You've got a gang?
Robert Haynes.
Dinosaurs on a spaceship.
And I've lost where I am. Oh, yeah, Mary Lang.
I am a queen.
Oh, yeah. And Rhys Parton.
I'm recording a podcast on a spaceship.
Oh, for God's sake. Now,
spaceship Earth, yes.
Talking of Rhys Parton, I got an email.
He's a fan.
Slightly amusing email in some way, from Sandro, asking if he could come on the podcast to replace Rhys on Mondays. My reply was, recording on Sunday, so Rhys can be on the show.
There you go.
Sandra. How convenient.
Say that to me in the face.
Say that to him in the face?
In the face.
You know what I mean. It's 5 in the morning, my brain's not working.
Yes, and your connection's a bit strange as well. It's just intermittent. But we'll put up with
That's what I was trying to say, yes.
I did get a proper email from him, and it says this. In fact, shall I say it? Because it says Asylum of the Daleks. Yeah, I'll read his Asylum of the Daleks section. It says, hello, podcasters. I tried to send this audio form, but Gmail kept crashing. Anyway, here's my thoughts on the two latest Who episodes. Asylum of the Daleks was a very interesting, thrilling and exciting episode. However, on my first watch of this, I did feel a little bit lost and had quite a few questions about the overall plot. A second watch cleared this all up, though. I think that...
Didn't need to use ointment then.
What's that noise? Someone eating sweets?
My lollies. Hmm. Yes, sorry.
I want lollies.
And I had some Walker's smoky bacon crisps too.
I'm hungry now.
Oh, I wish we could get those here.
Sorry.
Moving on.
I sent some over for you, Kirby.
I think that the Daleks were used excellently. And the nanogene stroke eye stalk people were very clever. It was a very big shock when Jenna Louise Coleman appeared as something started with an Oswind. I can't think of her first name at the moment. Oswind?
That's Oswind, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. He says Oswind. As a whole, Asylum was good.
That's what you get if you have too many beans.
If you say so. It's not souffles, then. As a whole, Asylum was a good, strong opening for series. He's written season by mistake. He does go on about dinosaurs on the spaceship, which we'll talk about in a minute. Remind me to go back to this particular email. Something else has cropped up.
To go back to that particular email.
Me and Ben are getting the blame for Stephen Moffat's departure from Twitter. According to Mr. Rhys Parton of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, of the Who is the Man podcast, of the Staggering Stories podcast, of the whatever else podcast I haven't mentioned yet. Ben Shoveler specifically is to blame for his departure from Twitter. Now, all I said on Twitter this week was that I was a bit appalled the fact that they'd cast David Mitchell, a well-known Doctor Who hater, in a role in the series. I think that was a bit of an insult. And
who is he?
He hates Doctor Who. He's been quoted saying he doesn't like Doctor Who. He went on some comedian bloke of Mitchell and Webb.
One of the robots.
Yeah, one of the robots, Mitchell and Webb. Anyway,
yeah, I know that.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, but anyway, yes. He, some point, I'm pretty sure he went on Room 101 and stated Doctor Who as one of the things he'd like to put in Room 101. And I found that very annoying, apart from the fact he said it was a children's show, when in fact it is was a children's show, and we've all grown up, it's now a family show.
And I heard that quote. Okay. I remember that.
So I'm very cross, very cross, that he was given a part in this story. And I stand by that crossness. I meant Stephen Moffat, but I meant actually whoever cast him. I said Stephen Moffat because he's the boss. But Stephen Moffat would have known that he was a hater of Doctor Who. And I don't like
people. They have their own casting directors now, though, don't they?
But I don't like people who hate Doctor Who in Doctor Who. It really annoys me. But there you go. But there is some sidekick, Roy Webb.
Well, it gave him a job,
very good. He was excellent. Oh, dear, what a brilliant robot he played. He's never said anything bad about Doctor Who, by the way.
By the way, the article was in the Mirror on 9th September 2010. Doctor Who 2 Grown Up.
How
were
you,
comic David Mitchell?
How were you able to read it? It was in the Mirror. Can you read?
Yeah,
sort of backwards
I can see
text?
It. Yeah.
Mirror.co.uk.
Was it all the text backwards?
Mirror on the wall. Who likes Doctor Who? Most of them all.
I've got my Google secret.
Ah, but did you ask Alice? Yes. Did you ask Alice to read it out to you? Anyway, moving back to Doctor Who. Right, I've got the charts here somewhere, and I'm going to read them out because I want to get them over and done with. Because I think it's appalling what's happened in the charts this week. So much so that I'm seriously considering not doing the charts anymore after this. Thank you, listeners. I'm blaming the listeners for this one because obviously they're to blame for the fact.
Doing the chart.
No, they're to blame. No, Bruce, no, I blame the listeners for they're the ones that didn't tell all the other podcasts that don't bother bringing out weekly shows, only bring out shows when the series is on. Now bought shows out and now above us in the charts, and this is how it goes. Number 30, will you stop eating lollies when I'm trying to read the charts?
Number 30, at least
they'll take them all out of the wrapper before we start recording. That might be a good idea. Number 30, re-entry, TARDIS blend. Number 29, down 7, oncoming storm. Number 28, down 10, staggering stories. See, they must feel just as bad as us. Number 27.
Yeah, they're usually way up.
Re-entry, yeah. The Colton Collective.
Jesus.
Number 26, a re-entry for the new Who podcast. See what I mean? See? Oh, the new series is on, so we'll bring out a podcast.
That was their first one since Christmas, I believe.
Although, obviously not above us in the charts. Number 25, re-entry, the Doctor's Companion. Number 24, down 9, playing Doctor. There's a theme going
on
here.
What are they doing way down there?
Number 23 is a new entry for the Police Box Paradox podcast. Great name. Number 22, down 10, for the Whostorian. Number 21, a re-entry for Doctor Who, Who's He? And at number 20,
who is he?
Into the top 20, down 6, for the Madman in a Box. Number 19, a re-entry for Doctor Who Review Today. Surprise, surprise. Oh, a Doctor Who episode is out, so we'll bring out a podcast. But don't bother bringing out any others any other time of the year. Number 18, a new entry for Doctor Who Commentaries from Impossible Podcasts. I think they have enough podcasts out. Thank you, Impossible Podcasts. And number 17, down 4, for the Casterbarus Podcast. Number 16, a re-entry for the Doctor Who Podcast. No, I'll rephrase that. The Doctor Who Cast. Sorry, it's so similar to the Doctor Who. Just one syllable missing there. That's why I made that mistake. Number 15, down 7, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. Number 40, will you stop and try to gloss over it? Number 14, down 5, The Memory Cheats. Number 13, down 2, Mostly Harmless Cutaway. Number 12, a re-entry for the Omega podcast. And at number 11, a new entry, and this really annoys me. How long have we been doing this show? 2 years. A show every week, sometimes twice in a week. And somebody comes along and brings out a podcast called Doctor Who AfterBuzz TV Show.
He's grumpy with his time, isn't he?
I'll repeat.
Well, how do people know to look for it to download it?
Exactly.
If it's never been there.
It's called Doctor Who AfterBuzz TV After Show. What a mouthful.
It's just
that's a podcast, and it takes a whole podcast just to say the title of the show. Anyway, number 10.
Do they just call up all their friends and say, quick, you know, get online and download this?
I don't know. But down 3,
that's
at number 10, is Bad Wilf. And a 9, a re-entry for the 11th hour.
Wait, what was that? Missed one there. I didn't hear it. People were talking over it.
Bad will.
I tell people every single week I say this. I've given up.
Bad will.
10.
Yeah, I said bad wolf. I said it about you. Did you not say bad wolf? The only one that didn't say bad wolf was Mary. Mary, say bad wolf.
Bad wolf.
Thank you. Number 9, a re-entry
bad wolf.
For the 11th hour. Number 8, down 2, the Pharos Project. Number 7, a re-entry for Impossible Podcasts.
Again.
Number 6, down 2, Flashing Blade. Number 5, a non-move of the Ood, I only bring out a podcast when the Doctor Who series is on television cast.
Mm-hmm.
And number 4, down 1 for the DWO Who cast. Number 3, down 1 for the Tin Dog podcast. Number 2, re-entry for Radio Free Scaro. And at number 1, a non-move, What the Hell Happened to Doctor Who Podshot, who are not releasing podcasts when the series is on for some odd reason, the Doctor Who podcast.
Right, some of these are old names that have reappeared.
It's a mouthful, that last one.
Yes.
That's almost as long a title as Doctor Who After Buzz TV, The After Show. In fact, I think the title of that podcast is even longer than that, and I shortened it because I couldn't fit it on the line. But there you go. That's the top 30 Doctor Who podcasts for this week. Anybody got anything to say while
I've got something to say to you.
Oh, good grief.
Whoa, Chuckle Brothers. Lighten up, won't you?
No. Anyway. Poor old Stephen. I'm a bit surprised he can't take mind you, some of the negative stuff said is a bit over the top, so.
People can be nasty, you know, from the other side of a computer where they're seemingly anonymous.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And people get into trouble for it. No, no, no. People are getting imprisoned for malicious things, and I think we're all entitled to our opinions. I'm not sure that Mr. Moffat.
Adam.
Yes.
A good example over here. There was somebody in the media here. People tweeted such nasty things to her. She took a picture of a bottle of tablets and says, "There, are you happy now?" And shortly after that, an ambulance was called.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah. But anyway, let's move away to more cheerful things. Right. Now, yes, I was saying about Moffat and stuff. Obviously, I'm sure he's quite happy for people to have their own opinions. It's just being a little bit over the top with, being a bit personal towards him in regards to
their opinions. Yeah, I mean, that's nasty.
Maybe he's just busy. Did he say something that he was leaving, or did he just vanish?
I'm quite happy he's there because basically he's still producing Doctor Who, or somebody is.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And wasn't it RTD who was very active on the forums until even through the first series and then dropped out?
Yeah, you're probably right.
For pretty much the same thing.
Yep. Anyway, I'm trying to look up some news now.
And you do know that the Chuckle Brothers thing I said was just a quote from the episode we just watched.
No, I didn't.
Yes,
yes, Kirby. We know.
No, I got a feeling that Adam did not realize.
I didn't because I've only seen it once.
Yeah.
Like I said, I had to work Saturday night. I came home.
Saw it once as well.
I missed a lot.
You miss a lot when you only see it once, that's one of my problems.
Well, I came home at 10 past 10 that evening, watched Doctor Who, went to bed, got up this morning, went to work. I've come home from work, had my dinner, set up the podcast. So, as you can probably guess, I haven't had time to watch it a second time. However, I will be watching the images of it in a moment. Yes.
Don't take it personally. I was quoting the episode, and the others realized that I was quoting.
Well, the mood I'm in, I'd rather take it personally. dinosaurs on a spaceship.
Get himself down, doesn't he?
Dinosaurs
on a spaceship. This is our chance to get our jabs in, huh?
Overnight audience of 5.5 million viewers, which is a share of 26.2% of the total TV audience. Obviously, they haven't added on downloads, etc., etc.
Yeah.
Pardon me, I'm drinking Diet Coke at the moment.
Worldwide, think of all the millions.
So. I haven't actually seen the final figures for last week. So has anybody seen those yet?
They're further down the page that you're reading.
How do you know what page I'm reading? Are you monitoring my computer?
Ooh.
Going on. No, I can't see anything. It stops it. Oh, it says show earlier news articles. I'll click on that, see what happens.
Careful, Kirby. He's kind of on the edge here.
I'm on the edge. Alicia promised me she'd be here to record the review, and she's decided to skulk off to her room for some reason. Maybe I'll give her a ring.
Well, you need to call her on her iPhone.
You know, somebody went, and that made you go quiet, Kirby.
Ooh.
Very strange. Right, where's my phone? That means I've got to switch it off airplane mode to do this. By the way, I haven't got any audio feedback this week.
I'm afraid to make jokes because you might get angry at me.
I'll just make them on. If I'm in a better mood tomorrow when I actually edit the show. If I'm in a better mood tomorrow when I actually edit the show, I may or may not keep them in with a rim shot on it.
I don't know, as tired as Robert and Kirby, not Kirby, but Reese are, they may be a little edgy too. Tread softly, Kirby.
Right. Apologies for any pulsing on the thing, because I'm just phoning up Alicia, Kathleen, Rosalind, Pearson. Hello? Are you actually going to join us, or do you want me to communicate to you via Skype on your phone?
Can I have your laptop?
Because
I need to do
course
work.
Well, my laptop is currently recording the podcast. That might be a little bit on the tricky side.
Am I going to do course
work? I don't know.
This letter needs to be in by Schmeider, otherwise I can't be head girl.
Oh, here we go. Emotional blackmail time. Well, you'll have to do it a little bit later on. Never mind.
Have her come down.
I'll take it. I take it you don't want to join the podcast then.
I do, but I'm watching the X Factor.
You're watching the X Factor. Oh. There we go, listeners. There's a priority.
The one
right
show that outranks Doctor Who in England.
Rather watch the X Factor. Well, no, I'm recording at the moment. The drinking. You have a facility where you can walk down the stairs, pass the stuff on the stairs first, and then into the kitchen and get yourself a drink. Well. How about you go downstairs, get yourself a drink, then paint your nails?
I just want to be on the podcast.
Oh, why don't you just come downstairs, get yourself a drink, come in here then?
Well, I can't even communicate me by Skype.
Well, I can do. But, oh, hang on. She's such a pain. Right.
She's a teenager.
Oi.
Well, the trouble is, she hasn't probably got her Skype switched on her phone, but there you go. We'll try. No, she's not gotten. Right. For God's sake.
Call her and tell her to turn it on.
Yeah.
No.
Hello.
Jane.
Can you sort of turn your Skype on?
My Skype is on.
No, it isn't, because otherwise you'd come on as online and you're not.
My Skype is on.
It's not online.
It is.
Isn't.
Wait. Right.
Go into Skype, switch it to online, and then we should be all right. Thank you.
These are the shenanigans we get up to behind the scenes of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Not always.
Yeah. No, he might leave this on. I don't know.
Hang on, where's the airplane?
I don't know. Is this why we're ranking lower? People have to listen to this.
Well, this is what people have had to put up with for the last 131 episodes, so I don't think it'll be enough to help get people to turn off. What it is, Mary, and as I illustrated, it's people that can't be bothered to release podcasts every week or every month, that only release the shows when Doctor Who's on. Basically, the ones that can't be bothered with the rest of the history of Doctor Who is the reason why we're number 15 in the charts this week.
No, that can't be true. The memory cheats and they outranked us.
But we were we outranked them last week.
I tell you one thing, when we get around to doing other episodes, older episodes again, I want to do Day of the Daleks. I am in the middle of watching it and I'm enjoying it immensely.
Do you know, when you said I'm going to do Day of the Daleks, I had the tune of I'm in the Mood for Dancing by the Nolan Sisters came into my mind. I thought you were going to start singing that. I don't know why.
He is tired.
Yes, I know.
Yes.
Anyway, I was hoping that Alicia might be able to join us, but appears. Oh, she's gone again. Oh, good grief.
Well, I watched Genesis of the Daleks this week, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that is one of the
Careful, Mary. We haven't reviewed that yet.
Well, I'm ready.
Good. Right. Where's Alicia?
Yeah, from here.
Hooray. Why didn't you say anything?
Hello, Alicia.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, there's echo because you've got your speaker on. Yeah. Do you want to come down and borrow my headphones? Earphones?
No, I don't want to come downstairs.
Such a whiner. You're such a whiner, aren't you?
Oh, the whiner.
This world problem.
I don't want to move from my bed.
At least you're there, anyway. By the way, as I was saying earlier on, listeners, we have not got any feedback this week apart from what Sandro wrote.
We haven't got any. There's your feedback.
Was that Robert? Was that Robert making that phone noise?
Because did you find Matthew's feedback?
What's feedback?
From last time.
Remember, yeah, no. You missed it the last time.
He said that.
That's because I never got it. I never got any feedback from Matthew. I got feedback. The last Matthew feedback I got was the Claws of Axos. Hey?
Did you check all sources?
Well, I've got some HP sauce. I've got some Heinz tomato ketchup with reduced sugar. What else have we got, Alicia? You got some chocolate sauce for the ice cream, haven't you?
Ooh,
what?
We're talking sauces at the moment.
Talking sauces.
For some odd reason.
We've got dark chocolate sauce, actually.
Yum.
Yeah. So not even anything from Captain Kirk, huh?
No. Maybe they didn't quite listen to the part of the podcast where we said we're recording on Sunday this week. What do you reckon? What will probably happen, they'll all start coming in tomorrow morning and I'll be dropping them in at the end of the show. Which is a bit of a shame. Not quite how I like to do it. Well, we can.
Yeah.
Well, you can discuss last week's feedback from Jim the Fish and what was that noise?
Sorry.
Alicia. Or was that you?
Anyway,
what's that mean? No, there's nothing at all on any email from Matthew Kressel.
Check your spam folder.
Ooh, good point. Good point.
Yeah.
Nope, I've got a notification from somebody or other.
From a Nigerian king or something.
Nope, something to do with penis enlargements.
Oh, dear.
Oh, could you send that my way?
Oh, grief.
Stop talking dirty, please.
Yeah, we've had enough of that on this episode. You're
talking
this
dirty.
Time.
That's right. Basically what's in my junk folder. Okay, so
this is my next podcast.
Joseph Kabore, urgent confidential respond. Hello, I am Mr. Joseph Kabore, Director Auditing and Accounting Department, Bank of Africa.
Nigeria.
Is it meant to be Welsh?
No, it's something in Africa. I can't pronounce the name. Ouagadougou, apparently.
Ouagadougou.
Isn't that a song by Rolf Harris?
Probably.
What if I look for something that sounds like Matty Kressel? I've got Mr. Hassan Amura. Doesn't sound like Matty Kressel at all, is it?
No,
I've got nothing here.
He's his African brother.
Ah. Right, I look in my only and last and only junk mail folder. No, I haven't got one. Where's it on Gmail? Oh, spam. Is it called spam?
Spam, 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 spam,
spam, spam, spam, spam, a wonderful spam. Spamity spam, a wonderful... See, that was... By the way, alluding to an episode a few weeks ago when we had a picture of Eric Idle from the Olympic opening ceremony, that was a song by Eric Idle from Monty Python's Flying Circus. By the way, I haven't got anything whatsoever in any folders from Matthew Kressel, however much I'd like to. I have, however, got a message from Mrs. Anna Kennedy that says, "Good day, my beloved friend. How are you and your lovely family doing? I have a bank account
Don't
in..."
Don't fall for it, Adam. She's not revealed.
Careful, read it before you read it out loud.
Are any of these emails ever written by Mr. M, who seems... They all seem to have a similar...
I have one written to me by Susan Foreman, apparently.
Did she?
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, the long and short of it.
Adam.
Yes?
You know, Did you watch the Planet of Giants DVD yet?
I've watched most of it. Yes, I did enjoy watching the whole story with the.
Yes.
And I didn't even realise I'd watched it all with the sort of reconstructed episode.
Yes.
It was brilliant. I really like that story anyway. But it's the way they created that new episode
to create an extra 25 minutes.
Yeah. But the fact is that episode, that 25 minutes, should have been in the story anyway, and it wouldn't have ruined it.
Yeah.
You know, they took it out for one reason or other, and it's a shame. But yeah.
It was funny when they did the Susan interview, and just listening to that music, I can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking of suing them. Yes. But that was interviewed about 10 years ago, wasn't it, if I believe? If I'm correct,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
From 2003. Yeah,
I'm still not happy they didn't have in the titles. Music stolen from the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Anyway, we're talking about an episode of Doctor Who called, according to the titles of Doctor Who, Egypt, 1334 BC.
What?
And that's apparently the first title. Starts. Yeah, the first title that comes on the episode.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And they seem to be liking to put strange little titles. I think in the previous episode we had the date floating around somewhere. Was it on this episode? We'll find out in a minute if I can actually get the play button to work. I've got to do it with a mute. How do you mute?
There's a lot of
iPlayer
dates floating around this episode.
Oh,
since I don't have iPlayer, I can't tell you.
He's not even playing at the moment. Alicia, are you still there?
I stopped.
I'm back.
Hooray.
Right inside, too.
No, I should.
My story, by the time you lot were talking, I went downstairs, got a drink. Then went to Mum's room, got a nail varnish remover and cotton bud.
Yeah,
then went to the toilet and then came back upstairs.
Yeah, but the fact that you could you turn the speaker off?
Why?
I don't like hearing myself coming back from my own earphones.
Echo.
Okay, right, if you really want that, you come up to my room and come and get the earphones.
No, eh?
Yeah.
No.
She wants you to do
that. She wants me to take the earphones up to her room.
Yes, yes.
I'll do anything for this show, you know. I'll risk getting cramped for your sake, Alicia. Hang on a second. Just go down a few windows.
Not after what happened last time.
Right, okay, I'm on my way now.
Keep glasses away from me.
With my earphones.
Please don't get cramp.
Keep all glasses away from Adam.
Exactly.
Yes. Especially treasured ones.
Yeah, he broke that one.
Yes.
Here we come. You're not going to let him forget
not,
it, are
not
you?
Deliberately.
It was an accident.
Yeah.
Hello, Dad. Ow!
She's got crap.
Uh oh.
Belt around the ears.
Headphones in the eye.
Now, Robert, this is your chance to unwrap all your candies.
Yes. Well, they are unwrapped. It's just the packet that they're in.
Ah.
Oh.
They're called cool fruits. Yummy.
Now, what was it, Kirby, that Robert has that you wish they'd sell here in the States?
Walker's, what flavor?
Smoky bacon crisps.
Oh, yeah.
Yummy.
Yep. Smoky bacon what?
They're crisps.
Crisps,
okay.
Chip.
Return it. Now, I'd just like to say, we must try and keep chips. Alicia talking to a minimum because her loud mouth always wakes up She Who Must Be Obeyed. And if she wakes up, this podcast will have a very premature ending. Okay, just let you know, it'll be on your.
You were mean to me, Dad. No, you shut some earphones at me, and then had to go at me for watching X Factor.
No, it was just too loud. That's why I had to go at.
Well, he should have a go at you for watching X Factor. It's rubbish.
Not in the maybe where you are, but in the UK, it's good. Okay.
No.
Guess what?
Wherever you're watching it is good. Here we go. Doctor Who, right. So anyway, Egypt, 1334 BC. And
Adam.
Yes?
Guess what?
What?
I received a message from Donald Tosh today.
That's just a load of old Tosh.
No.
Yeah, that's the script editor of
Doctor Who, back in Hartnell's.
Oh, that in boy. Hartnell's
era.
Yes,
and do you want to hear what he said?
How long is it?
It's very short.
Oh, go on,
says,
yes.
I'm delighted that you enjoyed. He's got that ED in brackets. He says Doctor Who in all its manifestations. And trust you are enjoying the most recent ones, which I think are splendid. So you must be watching the current series. And I suppose it is possible that you have seen some of the Doctor Who that I worked on, but it was nearly 50 years ago and then wiped by the BBC here to reuse the tapes, as I think they were shown much later in Australia. Best wishes, Donald.
Excellent, thank you.
Oh. Cool.
There you go.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
So he's still watching Doctor Who today, so I think that's pretty good.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you, Robert.
As is Ian Levine.
I managed to get...
I'm not interested really in that.
Yeah, thank you, Alicia. I managed to get 10 seconds into the episode this time, which is a record before getting started.
Yes.
Any more interruptions?
Anyway, the Doctor is trying to get away from Nefertiti. And I have to say, the casting Nefertiti was very good because we've had to have some sort of archaeology program, which they found a skeleton that they think is, sorry, a mummy, they think is Nefertiti, and they made a face up from the bones, and it was quite similar to the face of the actress that plays her in this.
It's quite pretty, isn't she?
Yeah, it's very pretty, yes. Yeah, so he's trying to sort of get away from a very lustful Nefertiti.
Being very much like Amy in that one episode.
Very good, yes, indeed she is. That bit when they're in the bedroom.
Yes, before her wedding.
Yes. So anyway, I think he has to take her with him, doesn't he? Because the next shot we're in India.
Well, I thought it was very amusing when his psychic paper beeps with a child's bicycle horn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why does it do that?
And it's set a news feed.
Yeah.
Because it's like an iPhone ringtone.
Oh, excellent.
He had it set that way.
My iPlayer's just stopped working because I paused it.
Yeah, I didn't know that his psychic paper could alert him to anything.
That's the first time we've ever
apparently
seen it do that. I thought it was a phone at first.
Yeah, at first I thought it was a phone.
When I rewatched it, I noticed it was a psychic paper.
I will complain a little about the BBC, actually, because remember last week we were reviewing this, and the BBC had made Doctor Who available on the iPlayer, on the iPad and iPhone. They haven't done that this week, so I'm trying to watch it online via the Mac, and it's recording you lot and trying to play this. It's buffering like mad. Mm. So thank you, BBC, for not bothering to make it available to download or watch on the iPhone, iPad and other methods of apparently watch, because I've only just redone the iPlayer for the iPad, so you can actually download the episodes from
download
iPad.
It on iTunes.
Oh, I haven't got time to do how can I do that? I'm talking to you lot, right? But yes, that would be
download
option.
Say what you feel, Adam. Say 200, what you feel.
200 megabytes. Besides, it will use up all the bandwidth. It's crashed again. Right, we're gonna have to do this without interruptions, otherwise we're never going to get through it. Right, oh, it's up and running again now.
That's not possible for us to not interrupt.
Oh, no. All right. Sorry, I apologise.
It's our nature.
All right, here we go.
You'd be doing the show on your own.
Anyway, he wants your audience.
He wants to get rid of us and just replace us with it.
Please don't interrupt. 2367 AD, because they're in India now. He's in India, and they did the date on a part as what looked like part of the graphics.
Yeah. Now,
Is that just for our benefit, or the fact that they were actually on the graphics anyway?
No, that's for our benefit.
Yeah.
But anyway.
They keep giving us a new date.
Uh-huh. Every time we change dates, it's in a different font.
Yes.
Okay.
It's in an Egyptian font, and now it's in this Hebrew font.
Hang on a second. I'm just saying he's got Nefertiti with him in this scene. This is where he finds out about the spaceship.
Dad.
What?
Why'd you hang up on me?
I didn't hang up on you.
Did you just notice I went?
No, because I'm watching it on the... Oh, I'll make the screen smaller. I've got it on full screen tray playback mode. Well, how do you make it smaller? There we are. Click on that. Okay.
Right.
Did anyone get a feeling of unit when talking to the Indian Space Agency people?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just assumed they were a part of unit.
Yeah, but obviously 200 years in the future. Yeah, I thought that was like a unit of the future. Yes, very good. Now.
And I'm curious, the spaceship that they are about, that they're looking at on the screen and all. Didn't we see that spaceship in the last episode?
I don't know, did we?
We did.
I don't know.
Did we?
I mean, it looked very familiar, like I've seen this.
Again, that's
no, I don't remember seeing it. But
okay. Maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe it was just in the trailer.
We may well have been in the trailer, but we'll have to have a look at that. But the good thing about this, we can watch them again and find out. So if you want to watch it between now and next week, Mary, you can discover one way or another. Anyway,
do you mean the interior? Because it did look pretty familiar. It looks like they painted it a different
color. I'm talking from the exterior, that multi-potted looking ship. To me, I thought we looked at it last week, too.
No, that's pretty original for this episode.
Okay, I'll back away slowly.
So basically, that's the scene where we find out that there's a spaceship and it's on a collision course with Earth. I think that's basically and what's happening. And the Indian Unity people want... Is it heading for India or something?
Unity people?
No, it's simply heading towards Earth.
Earth. So I don't know why just the Indian group is involved.
In that year, India is the centre of all intergalactical spatial...
Why not?
...activity.
Yeah.
Why not
indeed? They may be the dominant culture.
Dad...
Yes.
That woman that played like leader or whatever in the Indian place, she's in Casualty.
She is, and she hasn't got an Indian accent in Casualty, which is quite intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Demetra Sarkar.
Who would say in 300 years' time whether anybody will have any accent, let alone an Indian one? It'll be because of the internet and.
Yeah, she plays Dr. Zoe Hanna in Casualty.
I think accents will disappear. She does indeed. Thank you, Kirby. Anyway, right.
Telepathic communication.
So basically, he goes down and sees this. Is it Riddell in a tent in a like a safari sort of area?
Where we have another.
No, it's Lestrade. Lestrade
from Sherlock.
Please don't relate to Sherlock. I don't know anything about Sherlock apart from.
You need to watch
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch, isn't it?
I hate Sherlock.
Okay, you can't hate it because you haven't seen it, Alicia.
I have seen it, and I hate it.
Okay.
And Adam, you need to stop.
You'd like it.
You need to watch it, too.
Oh, well, I've got too much
on. No, Dad, watch it.
I
love it.
It's a secret DVD.
No, thank you. Anyway, yes, it's Riddell, isn't it? The character that... Is he actually an actual character in history? Is it just somebody they made up for this story?
They made him up.
How do you know?
I think
because I did take history.
She knows all the knowledge in the universe.
Shut up.
Don't
be rude to me.
I'm not being rude.
I'll say you know all the knowledge in the universe. How's that rude?
You're being sarcastic, okay?
Yes.
Back to the episode.
I'm genuine.
How many Bryans does it take to change a light bulb? Anyway, he's up the ladder. When Rory can quite come.
Rory.
What's that actor being? Rory's dad.
Well, it's got to be Harry Potter and several other things. He's
Oh yes, I know it was. Yeah. I recognised him. He's
Ron
Mr.
Weasley's dad.
Weasley's dad.
Yes, he is.
So we've got Ron Weasley's dad, and we've got Filch in this particular.
Rory is Amy's. Rory is Ron's brother.
Amy's.
I guess.
Did he see? Oh, don't confuse me.
Yes, don't confuse.
Anyway, so basically, then he goes and fetches Rory and Amy. Now, I have to say, Ben's comments of last week do have a bit of sense about them. This going back to pick them up. I think it's to do with the story about myself, but it is a bit silly of going, oh, let's drop them off. Oh, I'll pick them up. I'll drop them. Might as well just take him with him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the reason why, because he says, or she keeps saying it's 11 months since your last visit, and the time keeps stretching out in between his visits, has got something to do with the story arc. But we'll find out about that as late. Anyway, it's quite funny the fact that he materialises around them and takes, Brian with them without even realising, and then has a go at him as soon as they step out the TARDIS. So, And immediately...
By the way, the question was whether or not it was the bulb or the fixture. When he shakes the bulb, you can hear the filament banging against the inside of the bulb. So it was the bulb.
Thank you for that, Kirby. And back to the... From
Rory
the,
gets a different one.
The 20 megabyte electronics podcast back to
Doctor
Who.
Yeah, Rory gets a modern one later.
Yeah.
And there he says it's the fitting.
It's
fitting.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, for God's sake. Anyway, so this is where we see that the Doctor and Amy together and as friends, and of course I'd like to say they give themselves a friendly hug. This is the way it should be between the Doctor and his companion. So I wonder if there's going to be...
With Nicola Bryant. Yeah.
Now, I wonder if there's going to be some significance to the fact he only calls her Pond, apart from occasionally when he calls her Amy, but he generally just calls her Pond.
Well, he calls everyone in the family Pond.
Right. I'm not a Pond, he says. Yes, you are.
Of course you are.
Seems to be a lot of emphasis on the Pond thing, you know, with rhythm and stuff like
that. Now, here's something about when the Doctor sees him and wonders who he is, sees Rory's dad.
Yeah.
I know that the actor wasn't at the wedding, but there was, supposedly, Amy's dad was at the wedding. And the Doctor was at the wedding and stayed and danced and everything.
Yeah.
So, theoretically, the Doctor should have met Rory's dad at the wedding.
Indeed. Good point. I'd forgotten about that. Do you think the writer of this episode might have forgotten about that? And the script editor of this episode.
Who says that the Doctor paid any attention then?
Yes.
He's all there for Amy and the kids and all that. Maybe he just really didn't pay much attention to the parents.
And that was after we rebooted the universe, too. So.
Yeah.
Yes, so I mean, he's a bit distracted.
Yeah. I love the line, this is the gang, I've got a gang now.
Yes.
Except he had a gang back in the Fifth Doctor.
But it is quite Scooby-Doo this episode, isn't it?
It's
quite a lot of Scooby-Doo.
He had a gang in A Good Man Goes to War, too.
That's true. Yep. That's very true.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, back to the episode. And the title sequence, so it's growing on me. I started first.
Didn't Moffat have a series called Press Gang?
He did, yes. I used to watch that.
Oh, he's ripping himself up again.
Julia Swahala, wasn't it? No. And Dexter the Fletcher.
To you.
Anyway, back to the episode.
Swahala was the companion in what was it? The
Curse of Fatal Death?
Fatal Death.
She was indeed. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. Or this episode of Doctor Who. They go skulking around this spaceship and open up the doors and these dinosaurs run out. And of course, dinosaurs on the spaceship. Which obviously then we go in the title sequence. This title sequence is growing on me. I actually quite like it. Now, I wasn't too sure last week. But the only thing I don't like is the title... text font with the little lights on it.
Yeah, the title with the author, because they're very small.
Oh, I don't mind those bits, that's fine, but I don't like the actual logo with the sort of lights on it. I don't like it, it's a bit naff.
It was green and scaly this time around.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be different every time.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Why was
it was that like last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, last week it looked what do you call it? Like Broadway Dalek lights. Dalek. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Dalek. Dalek.
Did you notice that, Alicia? Did you notice that, Alicia?
Etheric beam locators.
Is Alicia still there? Or she's fallen asleep.
I think she's fallen asleep.
Alicia.
Her phone is still there.
Alicia. No, she's still there. She's just been ignorant. Right. Anyway, back to the episode. So, yeah, quite like the titles. And of course, they're being attacked by obviously, as soon as we saw these two dinosaurs, I knew they weren't in a lot of danger because they were clearly vegetarian dinosaurs.
I was about to say that. I was about to be that pedantic. Because later, he doesn't have any problem with the Triceratops and immediately says the Triceratops is a herbivore, and yet with the Ankylosaurus, they run. Stupid.
Yeah, because
they are big creatures.
They've got great big hammers on the backs of their tails.
Exactly.
I was going to say, they need to stay clear of the tails.
Yeah, and I thought that they were going to be clever and knock the TARDIS as they went past, but they didn't. I thought that would be quite good if they sort of swung the tails around. They bashed a couple of walls and they went past the TARDIS without hitting it. I thought that would look quite cool.
Too much special effects.
No, why not? Anyway, right, Alicia, are you still there?
I was concerned about the size of the and
good.
They are the right
That's
size.
That's what she said. That's what she
You're
said.
Concerned about the size of it?
Of the of those particular dinosaurs. I thought they were too big. But no, I went and checked, and they're the proper...
It's funny you should say that, because very soon we see a Tyrannosaurus Rex. It looks a bit small to me.
Well, it's a baby.
No, they
baby.
Said that.
Yeah.
They said that.
Don't
yeah.
take the babies,
okay.
as baby.
They said it was a nest. Thanks. That's fine. Just checking. Anyway. They get teleported down to the... Will you be quiet? They get teleported down to Bad Wolf Bay. Which looks exactly the same as it did when it was last Bad Wolf Bay, and I was hoping he was going to mention it, but he didn't. And obviously, Brian calls him Martha C. Clarke, which I thought was quite funny.
And also, we keep having there's lots of Hitchhiker's Guide references in that theme too.
I wish there wasn't, because you wouldn't keep on talking about them if they were. But
he carries a trowel.
All right, thank you.
Else, who's a Hitchhiker fan, get the feeling there's this one scene when
my phone's going to run out of battery.
Well, how about plugging it in? I can't even speak. Plugging it in.
For God, that means I have to move.
That's what she said.
Oh, dear.
Where?
When Arthur and Ford are captured by the improbability drive the first time, they end up on the seafront at Brighton, actually, but the buildings are washing up and down like the tide. I just got this feeling that it was just more. Never mind.
Okay, that's fine. going back to this, I was just if you can hear
I
guitar.
I knew like Rory's line of saying, you know, can you just call ahead once like a normal person?
Yes.
But, oh, there were some good. I like the play. Back and forth between Rory and the doctor.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Oh, yeah.
If you can hear guitar in the background, I think Alicia might be getting a little bit too close to the X Factor, and it's just being picked up on the mic.
That's me.
What?
That was Dad. That was me. Hey.
That was me.
Why is there guitar coming across the Skype waves?
It's me.
It's me.
Anyway, back to Dr.
He doesn't have a lot to say, so he thought he'd play his guitar.
Clearly.
Yes.
Yes, Robert.
I'm starting to feel slightly stressed.
Robert, pay
attention. Dad, shut up. Deal with it.
Back to the beach, right? I quite like the fact that, you know, because I was thinking, what the hell are they doing on a beach? And this is supposed to be on the spaceship, and then they explain it with the wave movement generating the power, etc.
Hydropower.
I quite like that side of it. It's quite good.
Eco-friendly.
Thank you, Alicia. I'm glad you think so.
Yeah.
I try to be.
And
do you know why it's eco-friendly?
Adam.
Yes?
You've got feedback. You got feedback from Ian. He's just mailed it in.
Hey.
He just emailed you.
About blimmin' time. Hang on. I'll play it afterwards because he might be talking about this episode. But right, Rick, can you remind me? That's your job. Remind me to play Ian's feedback.
Sandro, you got to mention the rest of Sandro's.
And that as well. Yes, well, remind me later because something my brain's gone.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Nefertiti and Riddell, is it? I can't remember his name. Amy are sort of walking around.
Queen.
Yeah, with torches and. It looks like Nefertiti is sort of taking over because she's walking ahead of everybody, being all brave and announcing her queendom. I do like her. I think she would have been quite a good long-term character, actually. Companion.
Well,
I loved
Amy's response when she hears it's Nefertiti.
Yes.
I learned all about you in school. Big fan.
Yeah,
high five.
You're really a bit behind on that.
And of course, this is where they're in the Tyrannosaurus nest. But we've got eggs there and a baby. You would have thought they'd only be sort of empty eggshells.
Eggs having a theme.
Empty eggshells.
Eggs.
Yeah, very good. Very good. I'm impressed with you lot today. Just as well, you lot are working. Brains are working them. Because mine certainly isn't. Anyway, this is why I thought it was an adult, because the eggs were there, and there was a full-grown, well, what looked like a fairly full-grown dinosaur there. So, someone's making funny Skypey noises.
What's that noise?
Oh, my daughter just came online.
Oh, okay.
Dad.
But what?
Why'd you hang up on me again?
I didn't hang up on you. Grief. Well, yes?
You're doing it on purpose.
I can't. I'm watching Skype. Not Skype. What's this thing called? Skype. iPlayer. I'm not even looking at Skype at the moment. I didn't hang up on you, but please keep rejoining the conversation. It's very nice to have you on.
Yes.
Right. Now, what did you think of the... Because this was clearly... part of it was like a animatronic puppet, this particular dinosaur.
Mm.
Remember the last time dinosaurs appeared in Doctor Who proper was the Invasion of the Dinosaurs, where they were criticised as being slightly... Yes.
We did have in the Rani one, with those Tyrannosaurus.
Oh, the baby
Rexes.
One, the embryonic.
Yeah.
They were quite good, yes.
Right.
Weren't they?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, body stockings, apparently. Can you turn the X-Factor down?
I'll be back in 5 minutes. I'm just going to take out my earphones because I want to watch this bit.
She's watching the X Factor. Anyway. Again, this relationship between the Doctor, Rory and Brian works very, very well.
Oh, it does. So much so that the Doctor
it was the best part.
Rory.
Mm. And actually, they
and
could pass as father and
together,
son.
They could be, yes, I was about to say that.
Yeah.
In fact, more so than him and Rupert Grint, we said. But, of course, then we see pterodactyls start sort of swooping in on them, which, of course, there was a pterodactyl, very badly rendered pterodactyl in The Invasion of Dinosaurs.
And The Wedding of Every Song.
Oh, yeah. But the one in The Invasion of Dinosaurs didn't work for me because it was indoors. It never would have been able to get into flight, yet it was there attacking them from inside. But these ones are great because they're proper flying. You know.
Don't forget the ones from... Hey, there were pterodactyls at the last episode of last series.
That's what I just said.
Don't beat the pterodactyls.
There were also pterodactyls in Torchwood.
Yes,
very good. And in Primeval. But then Primeval nicked all its
own. Primeval was all about that.
Hey,
yes.
And also Jurassic Park.
In history.
Oh, yeah. Goodbye.
And in history,
Thank you. Anyway, they run into a cave, and I must say the walls of the cave look a bit crap. They look a bit like they're actually not very good. But probably because it's not actually a cave, and they sort of... found them's way or their way into another part of the spaceship. So I have seen this once. So if I'm wrong, please. Oh, this is where he meets the robots. That's right. Yes.
Yes.
Mitch, oh, you don't have to invite us to tell you when you're wrong. You know, we'll just do it anyway.
Yes, but a lot of the time, you come in and tell me I'm wrong when I'm right, which is very infuriating.
Now you're gonna have to tell. You're gonna have to tell us Americans who are these two comedians and what's the big deal about them. I liked the robots.
I did not
like the robots.
They have a comedy sketch show.
Okay.
And also David Mitchell is an actor as well, so he appears in dramas and comedies playing different characters, whereas Robert Webb is an actor to a degree, but he does most of his work with David Mitchell. Both very funny. Their shows. You know that chap he was in the Christmas special this year, Alexander Armstrong.
Bailey.
Yeah, he is a comedy comedy duo with Ben Miller, who's in Primeval. It's a similar sort of setup to that, a bit like Fry and Laurie, but without the music. It's that sort of thing. But yeah, they're very, very good. They obviously work very well as a team, and they do work well in this episode. I just find the fact that David Mitchell appears in the programme he thinks was rubbish. I find that really irritating.
Maybe he's changed his
mind.
He hasn't said he has.
Anyway,
Amy appears to be wearing a Queen's Park...
You interview him and ask him.
No. Amy appears to be wearing a Queen's Park Rangers shirt for some reason. I quite understand the significance. Is she Scottish as well? I mean, there you go. Yeah, the robots are great. I do like them. They look like VW Beetles that have turned in. It's like Transformers.
They are.
Somebody pointed out that they're like the armour that these creatures in the Fifth Element movie wear.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they do.
But I do like them. I think they're great because they talk in their voices, their comedy character voices, that makes them seem a little bit more sinister. It's really in a strange sort of way. And then the Triceratops turns up.
I see.
Yeah, that's quite cute.
You skipped something.
Only because you were talking whilst it was on.
You skipped the skipping rope.
You skipped Amy becoming basically the doctor.
I know. Yes,
I did.
I was very impressed with her.
Companions.
Because when that bit was on, you lot were rabbiting on about something else.
Well, put it on pause.
Yeah.
No, I was getting into it.
That was awesome.
That was
awesome.
Oh, tell me about it then. I've paused it now.
I like what she says, that, you know, she's been with the doctor long enough to know that, you know, when you're someplace new, press buttons.
Yes.
And keep pressing.
And she gets this one expression as she's doing this stuff. As, you know, we have the point of view of the screen looking at them.
Yes.
She gets this grin on her face, which is just fantastic. Mm-hmm. I've never seen Amy look that way before.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kirby.
Now you've come to mention it, I have to agree, I did like that aspect of, or that sort of element of Amy in this particular episode, the way she sort of took control, because obviously Nefertiti tried to take control, didn't she, early on, but Amy quickly stepped in front and took the reins, and I did like that.
We got to the part where Amy mentions that she's a queen too, and she says, don't tell Rory.
As Amy's finding out all this stuff that's going on, discovers it's a Silurian ship and everything. Did you notice
that?
Front and sides too. The Silurian on the view screen is the same actor who played the Silurian doctor.
Yeah, which is good. Yeah,
and that's different. The character's different. He's got a different name in the credits.
Oh,
really?
But no, he's not Malachi.
Okay.
He's let me find it. His character's name is Blaytal.
Oh, right. Well, it could have been descended from him. Yeah, so would I. But I tell you, I did like that element of this story because it was just a sort of reference. It wasn't a major thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And I really did like
it. This was written by the same author who did the Silurian episodes.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Yeah. Anyway, right. So, we forgot to mention Filch, who has actually asked these robots to fetch the doctor. Is he not?
Yes.
Because he's called Doctor, and he thinks he's an actual medical doctor, and he wants fixing, basically.
Yes. But, how long did you go? I thought that was very clever, because you went for a while thinking that Solomon actually knew who the doctor was.
Oh, yes. Solomon. Yeah, I prefer to call him Filch.
Yeah,
that's right. Very good. Yeah, I thought he was going to turn out to be the master or something. Yeah.
Celestial Toymaker.
This was one of the most evil people that we've seen on the show in ages, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to.
And did we skip the whole part about them petting the Triceratops?
Well, no, I haven't, because you just started talking again.
Right, and out of Jurassic Park.
Right.
Yes.
Begin again.
You're smelling
right.
Adam's Brian's balls. I mean,
will
golf
you be
balls.
Quiet? What? Brian is now getting licked by the Triceratops.
I loved his reaction.
It's brilliant. it's brilliantly again. This is partly animatronics, and it's really, really good animatronics. Very, very good. And of course, obviously, the golf ball smells of grass, doesn't it? I think that's what attracts him.
I've got some balls.
Yeah, and I quite like the fact. Go on.
I was going to say, if you think about it, Jurassic Park was 20 years ago already, so you'd expect them to have pretty good Triceratops animatronics now, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, but this is Doctor
Who. You'd have to have the budget for it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yes.
But they've done a really good job. But the fact is, I like the way they've mentioned that there are two balls, so obviously, because then he can use a ball again later on in the story.
Yeah.
Thank you for that snicker, Mr. Parton.
One lovely bit. It's a very, very minor thing.
Mm-hmm.
When listening to this with headphones,
The
bouncing of the golf ball, first when he tosses it to the left the first time, and then later when they're on the Triceratops back going the other way, the sound of the golf ball in stereo headphones.
Yeah.
Bouncing is perfect.
Oh, excellent. Meanwhile, Amy has found a computer, and there's flirting that goes on between Riddell and Nefertiti.
And Nefertiti,
Nefertiti. She doesn't want flirty companions. Which,
yeah. Call her Neffy. The doctor calls her Neffy.
Yes, it's rather inevitable that this is going to happen, I feel. And this is obviously when Amy discovers that it's a Silurian ship. You were alluding to a few seconds ago, so we were slightly jumping ahead of ourselves.
No.
And Amy brilliantly...
No, before the scene with the Triceratops.
Okay. But Amy brilliantly asks some very clever questions to the computer in relation to why there are no Silurians on the ship anymore.
Yeah.
And asks the computer to do what it looks like now, what it looked like then, what's the difference, and they find a spaceship in the middle of... It's embedded in the middle of the spaceship.
Didn't that remind you of the scene where the doctor in the Silence of the Library was also checking for life signs?
Yeah.
It didn't actually.
The library. Oh, yeah.
No, it didn't actually remind me of that, but thank you for... Because that is a good point. Thank you very much. But I quite like the way they've got this... And they do this occasionally in Doctor Who, the shots of the actors from the computer's perspective. It really worked
a lot
well
more nowadays.
But it worked well in this episode. I quite liked it because basically, I think, because of the way that the camera angles and the way the actors were framed in the shots, it worked really, really well. I liked it.
Yes.
Who was the director of this episode? Anybody remember?
Oh, I have it written down.
Saul Metstein.
Yeah.
Has he directed any other Doctor Who?
Not that I know of.
No.
I think he has.
It says he's directing two episodes this block one.
I'd just like to make a request. I can hear the X Factor quite clearly coming through Alicia's microphone, and I find that really annoying.
Sorry.
So can you turn the X Factor down, please? Because I don't want to listen to it. Thank you very much.
No. JLS on
it. So? The sex factors on Adam are being...
Yeah, I'll be watching Doctor Who, yes. Anyway, right, so Solomon, again, this is where the Doctor meets Solomon, and all the piping that comes out is very Cyberman-like. it's the old piping that you used to see.
No, it isn't.
It is. Remember in The Five Doctors when the Cyberman gets his head knocked off and all that stuff?
Yes.
It looks like some of the piping and stuff from the... What is the name of the episode? Huh?
From the impossible
astronaut when they were down.
Yeah, it's very similar. Thank you. Thank you for
they
backing me up.
They do props, don't they?
Yeah, I suppose
it's a bit like
the throne.
The what? The throne? Oh yes, I know what you're talking about now. Yes. Anyway, so Solomon looks a bit like Filch from the Harry Potter stories, and
I
talks about
too much to make him look different.
No.
Does he ever look different than anything else that he's in?
Yeah. What is it?
I don't know what else he's been in.
He did play. Can I just say he did play a nice-ish character once in one of my favourite films,
Dad.
Which is Can You Be Quiet?
Dad.
Be Quiet.
I need to.
I haven't seen Can You Be Quiet? Dad, was it a good film?
I want to finish
Dad,
the sentence.
I need to do my letter.
Well, do your letter then.
I'm tired.
Do your letter and go to sleep then.
I can't do my letter. I need the computer to point it on.
Well, it's tough.
And print it.
Well, I need the computer to record with.
One thing that he was in is something that Reese should know about.
Yes?
I do.
He played...
Have you scored adaptation?
Yeah.
Thing
played
I was
Cohen thinking. The Barbarian in Sky One's adaptation of Color of Magic.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what he played that come to my mind. It was... he played the gardener in Tongues Midnight Garden. He played by an atrocious young actor, but he was in that. He played the gardener who actually could see Tom, he was invisible to everybody else apart from Harriet.
When he went back in time.
Yeah. I love that story. Oh, so brilliant.
Yeah, I do too.
Anyway, he was in that.
Like every British actor, he's been in Game of Thrones, but I haven't watched Game of Thrones.
Has he? I didn't recognise him.
Anyway, so what's happened
Everybody in England gets to work.
Yeah, sorry, Brian gets shot by one of the robots.
Anytime.
Which gives Rory the
I thought there was something wrong with his legs first because he collapsed on the ground, but he was only shot in the shoulder, wasn't he?
Yeah, he gets a chance to show him his nursing skills.
I thought because Solomon had problems with his legs that... Yeah, I thought that was good that they brought out about that about Rory again.
Well, that'd be him being a nurse, you mean?
You need to learn some manners.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's
I like where Rory lies. This isn't going to hurt.
Yeah. But you know, so it must be difficult if you're a medical person treating your own family. It's much more difficult than actually treating Mary. Hello.
Yeah.
You're a medical person, aren't you? Is it more difficult?
Exactly. I was too, Adam. Thank you very much.
Robert, hello. Is it more difficult treating members of your own family? And it is treating the members of the public?
Well, I'm afraid for me anyway, it's kind of the clinical side takes over because I know what needs to be done. And they're looking to you, you know, for the huggy, cuddly, you know, sympathy. And I'm involved in, okay, this needs to be done and now this needs to be done.
Yeah. But do you think Rory's sort of attitude to that particular scene was accurate to how it probably would be in real life?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he wasn't asked to do very much.
No, but the way he said this isn't going to hurt, and then it obviously did.
That's because all medical people say that.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
We never believe them. Oh, sorry.
This is where obviously there's some scanning going on. Solomon scans the doctor.
You skipped.
You
the doctor's
talking. Yeah, go on. I skipped what
you were talking.
All right, I was talking.
It was something that happened just before the doctor starts. When the doctor first walks in there, he's listening to the music. He comments about it's Fantasia in F minor. And then
four hands.
Four hands, and he was
three
the two four. Of the hands.
Two of them, yeah. Basically, they kept tickling me.
Yes.
Okay.
Franz Schubert, by the way.
Thank you for that. Anyway, right, as I say.
It's quite common him playing music, isn't it?
Oh, why not?
Last time he was playing the triangle, and this time he's playing the piano.
That's one of my favourite aspects of Groundhog Day, the fact that in Groundhog Day, to impress the woman, he used a certain amount of his days to have piano lessons so as he could impress her.
Yeah.
And it must have taken him years to learn it, or years of that one.
Oh, you mean the whole Sonny and Cher part didn't impress you? In Groundhog Day?
Good grief. Anyway.
I thought it was awkward.
I used to like that song. I do love Groundhog Day, though, I have to say. It's another one of my favourite films.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who. So he scans the Doctor and just finds that he is unknown, isn't he? Is it basically? He doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Which, of course, reiterates what happened at the end of the last series when he convinced everybody he had been killed. But then surely there'd be record.
It's what Moffat said he was going to do, that the Doctor was going to go underground.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
It's like the sounds the Doctor is repairing the Solomon's leg.
Unlike the sounds of you, which have gone very, very quiet. Can you come back closer to the computer, please?
Who?
You.
Oh, sorry. You.
Yes. What on earth did you think you were doing?
Huh?
I want to do my work.
I didn't realize that the microphone is.
Yeah. So basically, he gets bullied into repairing Solomon's leg after on the threat of killing either Brian or Rory.
Brian,
Rory's dad.
I know. I was just never mind.
Sound like you're thinking
something else.
Brian and Rory.
Yes, it's obviously we find that Solomon's a bit of an evil character the way he talks.
And then the calls from Amy come, which neither Rory nor the Doctor, you know, can even think of ignoring.
Yes.
Gotta take this. This is the missus.
Yes.
Yes.
As they were passing the phone through that gate, it's just bothering me. What if that gate were to open real quickly and?
Yeah.
Somebody loses a hand.
Okay. Anyway.
No, this is Doctor Who, not Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is where we start to discover that, that Solomon's a little bit on the ruthless side, and he's basically up for money. And it basically, he wants the dinosaurs. He's not worried about. He's killed all the Silurians because he wants the.
Yeah, ejecting them out of the airlock,
which was a very nice thing to do. And he wants the dinosaurs as some sort of, you know, prize that he can get money for, basically. So that's why
they can open a theme park called Jurassic Park.
he's nicked the spaceship for. But then, of course, later on he decides... Anyway, we'll come to that in a minute. So, yes, you're not a very nice man, really. But wasn't supposed to be.
No.
I thought the Doctor... there's a way he dealt with something later on in the episode, which was consistent with the Doctor in Family of Blood. Meanwhile, anyway, he jumps on top of the Triceratops and gets the other two to jump on the back of it as well. And they basically run away from Webb.
Chasing the never-ending
Webb and golf Mitchell, ball. Or even Mitchell and Webb. Yes, that's right. Cause they can't
which, once again, which the enemy fire, of course, never touches them.
Yeah. Oh, right. They must have got their training from stormtroopers.
Yeah, and also it doesn't
touch... Yes. It makes a lot of sense to these guys because they're idiots otherwise.
So. Doesn't touch the Triceratops either. But anyway, so... Yeah, so this is why he's got the other ball, like we say. So he throws the ball and off they go. And
it doesn't stop bouncing. It keeps going and going and going.
They don't. Have you ever thrown a golf ball before?
It wouldn't go that long, though. It wouldn't change directions.
Yes, it would. Golf balls are made to roll indefinitely.
Yeah,
but this was a good minute-long bounce. It wouldn't go that long.
If you throw a golf ball on a hard surface, it takes ages to stop bouncing.
It wouldn't hit a wall and conveniently go down the other direction and come back at you.
If it's a downhill thing, it'll probably take the downhill trajectory.
Police boxes don't go through time and space either.
Yes, they do.
Exactly, Kirby.
Going on about.
How dare you say that?
Even Alicia knows that.
Stop doing podcast now.
Don't spoil things.
Anyway, right, so they're still chasing this golf ball. It's bound to start to go down a little bit, Reese. So, to be fair. And I think...
Gravity's different on this spaceship.
Oh, yeah, another good point, yes. So anyway,
that helps.
They've fallen off. They've fallen off, and the Triceratops wants to keep playing, which is quite funny. It's acting a bit like a dog,
actually. That's great.
Yes. Come on then, let's get going. Come on.
which makes the next bit even more sadder, doesn't it? The fact that
here's your ball. Come on, let's keep playing.
Yeah, that. Of course, I think we keep seeing this flash to the thing that says "intruders located," don't we? Which I thought was going to have some sort of a significance in it. And then the Doctor has a sort of conversation with the Indian boss woman, which I can't remember the name of.
Indira.
That's it, Indira. Who basically says that they got to fire the rockets. Doesn't matter about them, but they need to protect the Earth, which is correct, really. In fact, it's a bit like a Torchwood of 300 years in the future, isn't it? Really? Yeah. They're protecting Earth from aliens and stuff.
It's never really identified what they are, but it's just, it could be unit, they could be troops.
Yes, it's just the uniforms.
It says there's one point where you see on the screen... backwards, because we're looking through a screen at them, it says Indian Space Agency.
Yeah, it does, yeah, and they do state it.
Straight out says it.
Yeah, they state
it. Right, but agency Indian. As part of what?
I know, I don't know. Yeah. Now, wasn't it convenient?
At the Agency of Indian Call Centres.
Oh, no.
Now, wasn't it convenient that the guns that they found were stun guns?
Tranquilizer,
okay.
And did you notice they kept on cocking them as well?
Yeah.
Well, yes. That's...
all the time. Yeah. Every scene.
Yeah, just as well. Ben isn't on here, isn't it? Mind you, Moffat didn't write this story, so he'd probably be alright with it. Neffy and Amy turn into a little girly team together. even though Three's company, the chat with the guy. That's when the Doctor kisses Rory, and Rory's reaction to being kissed is superb.
Oh, that is precious. I love that. Yeah. And it's almost like the Triceratops licking his father.
Yeah.
And the facial expression continues for the next few frames as well, which is really funny. Mm-hmm. Even after the Doctor slaps him a few times. That was really, really good.
The Doctor's
good.
Kissed all the ponds now.
Yes. Yes, good point. But they're so good together, aren't they? Darvill and Smith. It's such a shame that's going to come to an end soon. Meanwhile, Solomon has caught up with them, with the robot-y people who are just about to kill the Triceratops. Well, they already killed it. No, they haven't, have they? Yeah, so,
no.
And he calls them metal tantrum machines.
Which is don't throw tantrums.
Yeah, which is so funny.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, so there's a little
bit of those full arm crutches that he Solomon uses is pretty
Yeah.
Wicked, well, wicked.
This is where he finds out that Nefertiti's there, and he decides to do a bargain, doesn't he? That I'll have Nefertiti, you can keep the dinosaurs. Is that correct?
Yes.
So I have seen this once. I do need a bit of guidance from time to time.
I've only seen it once, too, Adam.
Me you too.
Just once, too? Yeah. What, how can you see it once, too? No, oh, once as well.
Once as well.
Yeah, but I was tired I watched it at 11 o'clock at night.
Everybody's standing pedantic.
Alicia's watched it loads more times than we have. How many times have you watched it, Alicia?
Alicia?
Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
Hang on.
So this is where they shoot the Triceratops. And, poor Triceratops. I was really upset for the poor little Triceratops.
I know.
Mm-hmm. People were, yeah.
Yeah.
One of my problems showed him
how to be a horrible man, and the way you see its little eye blinking as it dies, but that did look a little bit didn't look very real, to be fair. The eye looked a bit not quite very realistic, but I didn't mind because I know what they were trying to do with that scene. And if you remember Warhorse, the stage play, those horses don't look particularly real as far as real animals go, but they do.
The way they sell it.
So I'm not going to have a problem with that.
It's the emotion of the scene.
But I was a bit angry with the Doctor in some way, that the Doctor allowed the Triceratops to be killed.
What could he do, though?
He couldn't, but I think...
Step in front of it and get shot?
He used the Triceratops to get away and then didn't protect it. Or didn't... I think he knew that was going to happen. I don't know about that scene. Not too sure. It was just a bit heart-wrenching for me. I haven't actually asked Isabella yet what she thought of it. I don't think Isabella's seen the whole episode. Alicia loved it. She doesn't like animals. She loves it when animals get done.
Did Isabella see that scene? I'm curious to know what
she thought. I just said that to see if she's listening. I don't even think she's still there, is she?
I don't know.
I'm asking about Isabella. What did she think of that scene?
I don't think Isabella's seen it yet. Alicia has indeed disappeared, so that's fine.
Okay.
So I'll ask Isabella tomorrow if I can get her to watch it before she goes to school. But I don't want her to go to school upset, because I know she's going to like the Triceratops and the fact that it gets done.
Yeah.
We all like the Triceratops.
And also the fact, she loves Amy, and if Amy does get killed off, she's going to be really upset, as I've alluded to earlier on. But we'll find out.
Yeah, about that interesting conversation that Amy and the Doctor are about to have about how long Amy's going to stay with the Doctor?
Mm. Yeah, I know, but that is obviously put in there for... What is that slapping noise?
What is that sound?
Sorry.
What are you doing?
What were you doing?
Somebody making pizza dough or something? What?
Dread to think. Anyway, as I said.
Just me going... I'm taking the innuendo route.
Yes, but obviously that... Rings. That your ring?
Rings. Plural.
Lord of...
Like I say, all these bits of dialogue were put into the episode. Please stop snickering, please. They were put into the episode because, obviously, Amy's time with the Doctor is coming to an end. They did that when Rose left. They did that when Donna left. They had this thing where, I'm going to stay with you forever and ever and ever and not much longer. The Doctor uses the sonic screwdriver as a torch and waves it around inside some little hole. What was the little hole he was waving
at?
That's what she said. That's not answering the question, though, is it? It's just...
No, but it's what she said.
wasn't there some blatant innuendo on this episode?
Ryan saying it's my balls.
Yes.
Innuendo left and right, yeah.
Yes, because there was mention of innuendo on there, wasn't there?
Yeah, somebody actually said it, didn't they?
Yeah, the Doctor said it about the innuendo.
It was about, what's his name? The guy who plays Lestrade in Sherlock.
Yes, yeah.
Amy says, we don't want, here we go, walk innuendo, and he says he's got a big gun.
That's it, the big gun, that's it. Thank you very much, Reese. I did think of you when that bit came on.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad I'm making my way into your life.
I wouldn't go so far as to say that. There you go.
Well, there you'll take your mantle.
I think the Doctor manages to steer the spaceship away from Earth, but unfortunately doesn't manage to stop the missiles from heading straight towards, or continuing.
No, deliberately.
Continuing.
The pond. I mean, the Williamses steer the ship.
The pond.
No, not yet. They haven't. No, the missiles are heading towards... Oh, are they?
Yeah, because the Doctor digs out the homing device.
Herbie, it was 11 o'clock at night.
Aiming for.
He saw it once.
Yes, shut up.
I saw it once as well.
Yeah, but the Doctor puts the device that the missiles are going after in Solomon's ship.
Solomon's ship.
Yeah, I remember the, because I thought that was a bit contrived, obviously, but it would be because it's written by someone, but the fact that they said, oh, it's got to be somebody who is...
written by someone?
Yeah, no, it's got to be somebody
as
who's...
as opposed to being written by no one?
From the same... Yeah. Writing quiet. Itself? Someone from the same genetic pool, or whatever you call it. So, oh, that's handy. Yeah. We just happen to have a father and son together.
Yes, yeah. In the
thing. Well, you know why that is. The TARDIS knew where the Doctor was needed, and knew that...
yeah.
Talking of which, Neil Gaiman's writing a script for Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to this episode. Well, apparently Neil Gaiman is putting his name to another script, because apparently he didn't even write the script that he's supposed to do. This is the rumour that I've heard, which annoys me a little bit.
What?
I don't really think he'd do that, to be fair. But somebody said that Neil Gaiman, I don't know who it was, didn't actually write Doctor Who.
Can you believe everything you read on the internet?
Of course I don't believe it. It just annoys me when people like to say such horrible things.
Didn't actually write which script?
Doctor's Wife.
Oh,
he did though. Really? But somebody said he didn't. Stupid people! I don't think people have to be so horrible. And this is anyway. Meanwhile, the Doctor and Amy are having a moment together, doing stuff with sonic screwdrivers. And Riddell, is it? I forget his name. Riddell,
yeah.
Amy
reappears.
Yes. And Amy saying, "I'm easily the worth of two men, but you can join me if you want to."
Yes.
Yeah, she's quite good, isn't she? She's quite a good character. I reckon they should make her into a companion.
They should really start writing her that way.
Somebody, does somebody teleport then? I blinked and something appeared or disappeared.
The Doctor does.
Ah, yes. Now, where does he go?
He teleports onto Solomon's ship.
Indeed. Right, meanwhile, Amy and Riddell use big guns to...
Now, one thing that I like about the Velociraptors is that these... For some reason, these are the only dinosaurs they put feathers on, but they did the feathers very well.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Bear. Yes, they did. When that one turns its head and growls, you see them all stand up. Oh, that was perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
With the all the others should have had feathers, too. They're finding feathers on practically every fossil now.
What, fossil dinosaur?
Yeah.
Cool.
Which takes us to my most favorite part of the whole episode, is the father and son flying the ship. They are having so much fun.
Did you know what this reminded me of?
We're flying a spaceship.
Do you know what this reminded me of?
And the music here is great. This is the best part.
Have I suddenly disappeared here? Because I've asked the question three times. I'll try it a fourth time. Do you know what this reminds me of?
What does it remind you of?
Oh, thank you.
What does it remind you of?
Everybody was actually listening to that. But it reminds me of... Wilf flying that spaceship thingamajig in the end of time.
Yes.
Good point, yeah.
Yes.
I do occasionally come up with them. More. Anyway, right.
Well done,
so the Doctor appears and sort of... Doesn't he fuse the two robots? They sort of suddenly sort of go floppy. And
he unplugs them, although
he disables them somehow.
But did you hear what they said as they were turning off?
Yeah.
No.
They started singing. They started singing Daisy.
Oh yeah.
Bicycle Builder 2.
2001: A Space Odyssey.
Howl in 2001.
And House powering down.
So
there's two Arthur C. Clarke references in the.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the Doctor disables the signal from the main ship and makes the missiles head towards Solomon's ship instead. Nefertiti.
And I like how Nefertiti took care of herself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
But doesn't Nefertiti stay on the ship?
No.
No, that's all right.
No.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, because she goes off with
Doctor
Riddell.
Later on.
Because there's a big bang, and the Doctor quite callously allows.
That's what she's.
quite callously allows Solomon to get killed by the missiles, and he obviously seems to have planned this. Now, he's been very callous with Solomon. You would have thought he'd been a bit more callous with some other baddies in the past, but this is the point I was alluding to earlier, that this is where he's like he was in the Family of Blood,
Human Nature
episodes.
Yes,
he was very ruthless. But I'm not saying that the character didn't deserve that, because he basically committed genocide.
He had.
Well, and in the Eccleston series, when he lets Lady Cassandra go.
Dry out, yeah,
that's right. But
doesn't moisturize
her. Lets her explode.
But, yeah, but then she comes back to life, didn't she?
But yeah, he didn't know that.
Well, guess what?
Right. Right.
Guess what?
Guess what?
What?
I was driving past the street the other day, and its name is called Ecclestone.
Excellent.
Stone?
Guess what?
That's why when I spelt his name, I put an E on it, because of that street name.
Guess what, Robert? I was watching some of the Formula One Grand Prix today, and that's run by somebody called Eccleston. Bernie Eccleston.
He's all around the place, then.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Adam Matthew Kressel has just written... He just says, I'm sick, so no feedback again from me this week, I'm afraid.
I have to take a phone call.
People have their excuses, don't they? They have to make a fake emotion.
Is Amy calling you?
I better pause it then, didn't I?
Yeah, it's the missus. Is Amy calling you?
I've got to try and remember where we got up to, actually, because I was about to say something about the previous bit. So.
Exploding Solomon's ship.
Yeah. That's right, that's what I was talking about. Ooh. Exploding Solomon's ship. I was to say, it's not that I don't think he was right to do so, but it was quite callous, wasn't it?
Not like him.
Well, it shows a more serious side to the Doctor, a darker side.
Hmm.
Well, I think we are so horrified at how Solomon killed the Silurians. Yeah. I think in our hearts, it's kind of like a yes, he got his own.
Judge, jury, and executioner, but I think it would be probably more in the Judge Doctor's... nature to just imprison Solomon somehow forever rather than kill him.
Yeah.
But I suppose he had no choice in some way, because the missiles had to miss the spaceship.
Right, there were the missiles.
And it's a shame he couldn't have sort of, come with us, Solomon, you're going to be imprisoned, I'll take you into the TARDIS and we'll send you into some... you know, into the corner of a mirror or something like that, so you don't have to bother anyone but forever. But the usual spaceship as a target for the missiles, therefore everybody survives, that sort of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the only thing I had a problem with, that ending. Didn't mind the fact that Solomon got done in. It's just a bit out of character for the Doctor to be so callous in actually killing him rather than finding a way to imprison him forever.
Yes, I agree. Mm.
I don't know if Kirby wants to join in with the next bit. He's on the phone. But
well, sometimes death is not a just way to go. You know, death gets you out.
No. Yeah,
I think living with that all the time is a more just punishment.
Yeah, maybe so.
But also remember, there are no Time Lords about. He's the last of the Time Lords, really, besides the Master.
Yeah.
But, you know, so he's sort of got it all on his back to try and sort out things, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, right, so it basically ends with a lovely scene of Brian with his sitting on the edge of the TARDIS with his feet dangling.
Oh, I love that.
I've got one thing
scene
I'd like to do
in tomorrow,
I think. Which is, again, it was a little bit like Wilf, you know, but Wilf looked up at Donna in the TARDIS this time. It was, so the
yeah,
other,
and Donna as well, yeah.
The other chat was actually. Sorry.
No, because Donna did the same thing, didn't she, looking out at the. Was it Donna?
Yeah, and Amy did it, didn't she? She sort of...
and Amy did it, too.
She was sort of...
Yeah, she was in her dressing gown, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Mm.
I've got a message on Skype. Who's this from?
Kirby,
I'm talking to my mother. It's another Mrs.
Yes, yeah, another kind.
So, yeah, so, that was lovely. I quite like that scene. And again, beautifully framed faces and shot very, very well. I love the camera movement. Being a videographer myself, I do tend to notice these... certain things, the way the cameras are moving.
I do too.
And
with another meaningful look by the Doctor.
And of course, Rodella's got his dinosaur tooth was after, and Nefertiti's got her hair down. She looks absolutely gorgeous.
That's what I already said.
No, but I'm saying it now, and it actually counts when I say it.
Oh.
And Rory works out how to change the light bulb himself. And then we get some very strange pictures that Brian sent from around the world, which obviously looks like he's been stuck on literally rather than photoshopped on it. Like somebody's actually cut him out and stuck him on the actual thing. Because you can actually see the white edge around him.
Yeah.
So they haven't cut him out particularly well in some of these things. But and also the fact...
Unless he's just got the postcards and he stuck a picture of himself on the postcards.
Yeah, but I think that's implying he's actually been to these places because obviously the TARDIS has expanded his horizons.
Adam,
yes?
Where else would you get the postcards from unless you'd been to the places?
Hang on, you just said he stuck himself on them.
Yeah,
But he had to buy the postcards from at the locations and then stick himself on.
That's what I'm saying,
Okay, sorry. I stand corrected.
So he could have done that.
I got slightly distracted by the fact there's a picture of Rory and Amy, Amy in a wedding dress and Rory in top hat and tails. I hadn't noticed when I watched it the first time. As one of the pictures on the fridge. I think it's a fridge. I may be wrong. That's right, because then they stick another picture up there of the TARDIS being attacked by some dinosaurs.
Not being attacked, Siluria. It's just...
Well, it looks like it's being attacked. Thank you.
I didn't understand that Siluria picture, where that came from.
It was also, it was weird, wasn't it? What was that all about? I don't know. But nevertheless, that was...
Well, it means there's some reptiles running around.
Dinosaurs
still.
On a spaceship.
Well, but who sent the postcard? I mean, did the doctor?
I don't know.
That's what we assume, I
must
guess.
Have done.
Maybe that's put in there so we can all guess where
it's
from.
Mastodon, isn't it?
Oh, very good, very good. Oh, what have I trodden on? there's a picture. Somebody's just posted a picture of what looks like Bob Dylan wearing
Magic's
a long
been
scarf.
In there.
In fact, is a Doctor Who fan. Talking about Doctor Who scarves and stuff like that. Yes, there's a new scarf, isn't there? An official scarf of the Fourth Doctor's, which I've ordered and I'm going to get for Christmas.
Is that long enough though? That looks pretty short.
Oh, it's probably is quite short. It's probably quite of a reasonable length. But I'm still looking forward to getting it. Thank you very much indeed.
Oh, and Adam, Adam, I had a good laugh at those goal celebrations.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? Not a lot to do with Doctor Who, but it was quite funny.
Done to the Fremantle Dockers football team who had made it through to another final.
Yes, thank you for that. Anyway, right, so audio feedback.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello.
Listen very carefully, because Adam will play this only once.
That's very funny.
How long have those dinosaurs been in space? I said that in the future, the Indian Space Agency are in charge of space flight.
Yep.
Mitchell and Webb, as the camp robot voices, remind me of Julian and Sandy. From the BBC radio comedy Around the Horn in the 1960s.
Can't remember that.
Oh, hello, I'm Julian and this is my friend
Sam. Oh, hello. Yes,
I have heard
Mitchell
of that.
Mitchell and Webb also remind me that Hale and Pace were in the Sylvester McCoy era story Survivors.
Yes, they were indeed.
Well received. When Amy was shooting dinosaurs, she reminded me of her daughter, River Song. Hmm. In Eccleston's story, the Doctor Dances, the Doctor is on board Captain Jack's ship, which is about to explode, and rescues him. In similar circumstances here, he leaves Solomon to die. Last year's dramatic opening story, Impossible Astronaut Two-Parter, was followed by the romp, Curse of the Black Spot. This year, Asylum of the Daleks is followed by the romp Dinosaurs in Space.
Mm.
No, Dinosaurs on a spaceship. Rory's dad does not like normal travel, but he loves TARDIS travel. In a sci-fi novel by Ian M. Banks, there was a replica seashore on a spaceship, like here. Queen Nefertiti ends up with a hunter, John Riddell. Time Crash by Stephen Moffat. I don't know.
Well done, Ian.
As always.
All I can say about that is that had an element of silliness about it.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Ian.
Quite. Yes.
That was it for feedback. But thanks. At least somebody sent something in. Sandro. Oh, yeah, Sandro, yes.
The last part of
yes.
How did I forget? I don't know. Right then, let's have a look. Sandro, see what he says. Dinosaurs on a spaceship was very fun, very silly, and very funny. The one-liners made my whole family giggle, even my dad, which is saying something. A very well-acted, well-written, well-directed second episode, although the preview for the next episode looks amazing. Anyway, I'd better let you go you can read through the storm of emails you've probably gotten. Sarcastic. Anyway, right. Those guys are cool. That's from Sandro. Thank you, Sandro. Right, yes. Dinosaurs on the Spaceship was much, much better than the second episode of the previous series. It also...
I didn't mind it.
What? Well, you liked Curse of the Black Spot?
Last year.
I mean, second story. Second story.
And it was really good, too.
Pedantic so-and-so. Anyway, it was much better than Curse of the Black Spot.
which is brilliant, anyway.
And liking this sort of element of blockbusterness about these two episodes. So if they're going to have blockbustery things, you've got to have every episode has got to be a blockbuster, and I'm quite liking that element of it. I'm liking the lightheartedness that they brought into it, and you've got Mitch and Webb a comedy partnership, but it works well because they're robots.
The cast was good.
It works well because they're robots, and it also brings a sinister element to the fact that they're quite, that if they're told to kill, they'll kill, yet they'll still talk in these sort of campy comedy voices. I like that side of it. The interaction between all the five main characters, as in, the Doctor,
the game.
Brilliant. There's a few, like I say, I just thought the Doctor's sort of ruthlessness with Solomon at the end was a bit questionable, maybe. I didn't mind it because he deserved to die to us, but I still thought the Doctor probably would
have
found
a
way.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about the story, Spinosaurus on the Spaceship, and basically trying to sum it up and
sorry
say about what
that.
You thought
when,
about
when
it.
When my mother calls, I have to drop everything.
When my mother calls,
like we said, the missus calls. Well, this is another missus.
Yeah, when my mother calls, I switch the phone onto airplane mode. Anyway, right. yes.
my mother's tried calling me three times today, and times that I really could not. When I was in the middle of church, I couldn't answer the phone.
That's fair enough. No, I'm only joking. I would actually probably just say, "Mum, I'm busy." And then she'd probably call me back another time. But
well, we've been doing lots of back and forth, so it was important that I talked to her. Anyway, I assume we're done with talking
sort of
about
done,
the
episode. I can't remember what you got up to. We have actually sort of obviously got to the end of the episode, and we've talked about the way the Doctor disposed of Solomon, I personally thought that was a little bit on the ruthless side, and thought he probably
he's
could have
done that before.
I know he has.
Yeah.
But he basically... Judge, jury, and executioner on that particular scene.
I know what I was about to say just before I got the phone call about that.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say?
Think about this. We get the impression that he's been traveling alone for 10 months.
Yeah.
Before he goes back and gets these people, except he rescues the Egyptians, but from whatever it was. But anyway, he's traveling alone again. And the Doctor, when he travels
alone
can get rather ruthless and disconnect. He needs a companion.
Yeah. Good point. I hadn't thought about that aspect of it. Yeah.
I actually was thinking at the beginning of the episode, he was coping quite well traveling on his own, but come the end of it, I thought, he does need a companion just to keep him human, so to speak.
Yeah.
Well, so does that mean this series with Pons only being with him occasionally means he's going to be getting a little harder edged?
Possibly.
Maybe that sort of element to his personality, not having companions around, leads to him making a mistake that ends up with the Pons having to leave.
Chris, isn't it part of the previews for the next episode, A Town Called Mercy, that we have that little interchange when he's when he's really screaming about all the people that have died, and Amy says, "That's why you need people."
This is what happens when you travel alone. Yeah,
this is what you're right. Exactly. So maybe this is what that's building to.
Yeah, maybe so. But that was for me the only thing that spoilt it for me. I haven't quite decided whether I like it better or worse than
Give it another watch.
No, I still enjoyed it.
I liked them pretty equally.
Yeah, it was a difficult
one. I have very mixed feelings about this one.
You do?
Too. I mean, there's so many things that I just wondered, why are we even doing this? I mean, even the presence of Riddell and Nefertiti. I mean, what did they add to?
That's a good point, because that did actually come to my mind at the time. But the trouble is, it didn't matter that they were in it, but I just enjoyed their characters. I suppose the fact that I enjoyed the characters.
They were nice, but they didn't seem to contribute to anything.
No, apart from...
And the robots. You know, one minute the robots are, you know, a comedy team. Next minute they're killing.
Yeah, but that's what I was saying about that was made them sinister, didn't it?
I did not enjoy them anymore as a comedy team.
They were only following orders?
Yeah, but as far as Nefertiti goes...
It took the enjoyment of their humor away from
them. She had to be in there to... divert Solomon away from wanting to take the dinosaurs. He saw her as a more valuable commodity. That's why. She,
yeah.
But the other character, the Riddell character, was only in there for innuendo and for Nefertiti to fall in love with. I suppose was probably the least valuable character.
I like this one a lot better than the Silurian two-parter that Chibnall wrote.
Oh, yes.
This is a lot better.
Oh, yeah. For me, this is the best Doctor Who that Chibnall's wrote. Written.
To me, this was the second best show of this series.
I know Chibnall's... Sorry.
We were getting the constant overlay of, oh, the Pons are leaving. Oh, yes, that's right, the Pons are leaving. Because it seemed like every line out of Amy or the Doctor seemed to, you know, highlight that again.
Yeah,
and for me, it's getting old. I think they need to just leave.
Yeah, it is a bit... Yeah. Yeah. A bit annoying, I agree with that. But we're going to get it now until the end of this little run. But obviously after this fifth episode, when we have the break, it'll be a new start and... I suppose we'll just be harking back or wondering who Jenna Louise Coleman's character is going to be, whether it's going to be a relation or whether it's going to be actually Oswin or what, but that's something to look forward to. At least we haven't got that long to look forward to it.
Wouldn't it be cool if we had Rory's dad coming back for other things? We know he's going to be in the Power of Three.
Is he? Oh good.
Yeah, excellent.
Oh, that is good news.
Now, I have noticed that Amy's attitude towards Rory is different in this one. For once, she wasn't being mean or cruel towards him.
I think she's fallen more in love with him.
I think another good point that Ben mentioned last week in that them splitting up wasn't consistent. Yeah. He couldn't believe it that after all they'd been through, they were split up, and now they're back together.
Conveniently, it happened way too fast.
Yeah.
And it was convenient.
Just so they could get back together again. He didn't like that. And I can see that. I mean, it didn't destroy my enjoyment of the story, but I can understand and I agree with his gripes. But I think he's probably taking his gripes a little bit too far and just using them in his war against Moffat. But I think he said, right. So I think if Ben says an episode that Moffat's written is right, is generally quite good. That's a compliment for him. So
This was my favorite, outside of The Girl Who Waited, I think this is my favorite Amy episode. I like Amy in this one.
Well, I
like her all the time.
Yeah, I like Amy in this one, yeah.
Yeah, she's okay, she's not...
She's not... there's something about her attitude. She's cocky. That's it.
Yeah.
That's good, though. You want that.
Now, what did you guys... I'm sorry, I don't want to have you guys repeat anything, but what did you think about... Rory's dad sitting on the...
That's what we talked about just a minute ago.
We loved it. We loved it. Well, his dad is kind of like us, you know, because he's new to the TARDIS and the Doctor and space travel and all this. So he kind of reinfuses us with that excitement.
I don't think I could have sat right there.
No. No, I'm sure the Doctor would have assured him that he was quite safe.
It did remind me of the Beast Below, and maybe the Doctor would have to grab him by the foot like he was holding Amy by the foot.
Yeah, exactly.
And what about the postcards at the end? Who was the Siluria one from?
Exactly. I
can only imagine it's from the Doctor, because he was the only one that would have gone there.
Although it might have been, he might have taken Rory's dad along, since Rory's dad now travels.
And maybe it was a throwback from that future episode you were talking of. What was it called again? That he's in again?
The Power of Three.
Maybe it's from that. Because is there a rumour that there's a Silurian episode, not the one we've just seen, but a proper Silurian episode coming up in the future?
There's a rumour.
It's been dropped, but I thought maybe this is the episode that addressed it.
I don't think it is. Not. I think, little Silurian.
The Power of Three is also written by Chibnall.
Well, there you go then.
And see, the postcard came at the absolute end. So that, of course, is the hook. It's got us all mystified and wondering, and that's what's going to take us.
I'm predicting here on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast do with a Silurian story, and that perhaps the episode, what's it called again? Sorry, the one you mentioned, Power of Three.
Power of Three.
Is that episode?
Didn't the original Silurians have three eyes?
And also, obviously he's rescued these dinosaurs, but where did the dinosaurs go after he rescued them from the spaceship?
It looks like he went to another planet.
Siluria?
Siluria, because Silurian is a time period before around the Cambrian, I believe it's...
The
whole point of their spaceship was to start to repopulate a new planet,
and they would have
so
called that world Siluria.
Happens here, yeah.
Yes. There you go. We've sussed it out. Sorry, Mr. Chibnall.
We are so clever.
can I remind everybody?
Yeah.
For next week, there's going to be Garrick Hagen appearing, who was Kai in The Mutants, and he's also Big Stark Lighter in Star Wars.
Oh, thank you for that, Robert.
He's
so look out for him then.
Abraham. He's going to be Abraham.
Hmm. Right,
and
so
Ben Browder from Stargate SG-1 and Farscape will be in it too.
So, summing up, so far this series has been very, very good. If I say it's good, that's it. No, go on, carry on, get Mary, sorry.
You know, it's not like I haven't already talked a whole bunch, but anyway. I've been encouraging some people I work with who have kids to watch Doctor Who. And I told them one was dinosaurs on a spaceship, and I was really getting them all worked up, you know. So one has an 8-year-old boy, one has an 11-year-old boy, and one has I think she's a 10-year-old girl. And I got them all to watch. Well, the reaction off for the first episode was, oh, sorry, you know, we eventually turned it off because we couldn't follow what was going on. And I'm afraid that these episodes, they go like lickety, and people talk so fast, and there's so much self-referencing. I just wonder if new people should be watching these.
Yes, that's what I said last week. I was a bit concerned by the self-referencing and the sort of being up its own backside.
And then this one seemed the same way. It moves very fast. Even I couldn't understand a lot of what was being said. I had to turn on the captions. So I have a feeling we might lose the new people.
It's maybe so, but hopefully not. I think it's too much in its own little world. But for fans, it's great.
For fans, it's great.
Do you think, though, with RTD's era, it wasn't like that, though? Yeah. I mean,
It started getting that way, didn't it?
Then
it sort of towards the end. Pulled back a little bit, and now it's going back down that road again.
3 and 4.
Which is what JNT did as well.
I'm getting someone to start watching the shows that I met a couple of weeks ago. I'm lending her my DVDs. I tend to start people on the 11th hour, but then I won't take them.
That's probably a good place.
But I won't I won't take them past. What's the one after the 11th hour? The space whale one.
Beast below.
I won't take them past that, because then you're getting self-referencing to stuff that you really need to see things. Like, you need to see Blink.
You have to commit yourself,
That's why I start with Rose.
Yeah. I take them after Beast Below. I then give them Rose and start them there. But the 11th hour is a better one for an introduction.
To the 11th Doctor,
To who?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I almost think they need to be started with Eccleston.
Personal opinion. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a difficult one for me, but I will say that the series as it is now has its popularity because people started watching it after Rose, and Rose isn't the best episode, so you probably say the best one to start with. I know people have watched Rose and then switched off, but I think you can say that about a lot of Doctor Who episodes. But to keep really with this storyline from start to finish, you'd have to pick it up from Rose. Because obviously that is the story of the Doctor as we know him now.
Back to Dinosaurs on a Spaceship. You may have discussed this, but with the postcards, Rory's dad is pasted on top of those postcards.
Yeah, we did. What's going on?
Okay, I'll just listen when it comes out.
Yeah, well, basically, Mary said, and she's almost right, that he's visited these places, but there's a facility for sticking your own photo on top of the postcards.
Ah, okay.
Rather than he's actually taken a picture of himself and had the words of the places visited, you know, sort of put on the postcard.
I
he's actually bought a postcard and stuck his picture on top of it.
Yeah. Is there the possibility that the doctor took him to these places?
Yeah, that's that as well.
That's what I was thinking about.
Mm. Ooh, yeah.
Right. Oh my God! I've got. Hang on! I've got an email just come through. Hot press.
Help is on its way.
If you talk over it, you're going to get very disappointed. Honestly, you will be very, very disappointed. Here we go. This is the email. Sorry, the message as it has just arrived, hot off the doodah, and it goes like this.
Hello, good evening everyone, how are you? Hello to Adam, hello to everyone at Adam's house who he shouts at, including his kids and probably his wife and the dogs, and probably the fish and the clock, I should think. Hello to everyone Australian, everyone American, and everyone UK-ish involved in the podgram, and everyone listening. This is Ben reporting live from work again. Well, I'm live now, I won't be live when you hear me, I'll probably be at home in bed or something. Talking about episode 2 of this series of Doctor Who, Dinosaurs on a Spaceship. I really liked it, thought it was a fantastically good episode, brilliantly written, the script was hilarious, and oh look at that, it wasn't written by Stephen Moffat, I wonder if that's why it was so good. The things I liked about Doctor Who, things I liked about it, the Doctor saying things like, oh, I've got a gang, and wasn't it a good gang? But where did he get them all from, and how did he know them all, and why haven't we seen him do that before? Interesting questions. Best thing about the episode by a million miles was Mark Williams as Rory's dad, Brian Williams. Especially the bit where Tricey liked to lick his face and left all the dinosaur saliva on his face. That's fantastically funny. The look he gave it as he said, get it away from me. Brilliant. Also the bit where they got transported to the beach place. Are they kestrels, he asked. I do hope so, replied the doctor with a look of, no, they're not, on his face. And then he referred to them later as, what are we going to do about the things that aren't kestrels? Very good, very funny. Also the bit where he's digging on the beach and he looks at Rory and says, what kind of man doesn't carry a trowel? Since then I've been carrying a trowel everywhere. How can you not? Was that a towel? No, that's Hitchhikers. Anyway, the only annoying thing about Brian Williams in the whole episode was the fact that they've actually waited 2 years to bring him into it. Two years! You haven't had enough? Yeah. Why wasn't he in it from episode one of this incarnation of Doctor with Rory? Brilliant!
He is a new Wilf.
Fantastic. The Mitchell and Webb rope bots, they were also very good, especially exchanges with Rory. When Rory said, I'm going to take you apart bit by bit or whatever, and he said, oh, I'm really scared. Oh, actually, I might be. A little bit of oil just came out. Very funny. sad thing about the episode was when they killed the Triceratops. My 12-year-old had been watching 5 minutes of the episode, and she walked in just before that bit, saw Tricey die, and then burst into tears.
Yeah.
I had to explain to her it was only a CGI invention, a CGI. I had to explain to her it was only a CGI dinosaur, so she got over it eventually, but she was quite upset by that. The bit later on where Doctor and Amy were talking, and he said, oh, you'll be there till the end of me, and she said, or vice versa, and then he gave her a look to say, no, you'll be dead soon, what are you talking about? So she hasn't got long left. The music as well, the score, brilliant, absolutely loved it. Really, really good episode, but as I said, that's because Moffat had very little to do with it. The Doctor left Solomon to die, which is something he doesn't normally do. I wonder if there's a changing of the way he acts towards people. Yeah. That will remain to be seen. As usual, though, there are things I didn't like about the episode. Not a lot, though. Only the thing, really, about where the Doctor had made it obvious that it had been 10 months since he visited the Ponds, almost like Stephen Moffat had heard last week's podgram and decided that he ordered a rewrite of it to include that bit, just to really piss me off. And also, the other thing is, if he's left it 10 months, he's got a time machine. Why doesn't he just turn up the day after he's dropped Rory and Amy off, and then there'll be a lot more consistency to their life? I think there may be some sort of story arc.
Convenient to the plot.
To do with how often the Doctor sees them. Finally from me this week, Amy leaving is the last headline I've got on my notes. And I just had a thought. I don't know, it's not a spoiler, because I don't know if it's going to happen. It might do, it might not. Maybe Amy is going to get cornered by the Weeping Angels, and we're going to see that Dalek eye bracelet thing they had last week. And maybe, I don't know, she'll take it off or something, and she'll turn into a Dalek rather than being killed by the Weeping Angels. It's a lame idea, but I think thought it might happen. Yeah. Now I've said it out loud. Pretty unlikely. Anyway, that's a lot from me. I better go because I'm still at work and I want to go home in 10 minutes, so I've got to record this and email it to add. But hello everyone, hope you're all right, and I'll see you next week when we're going to talk about that episode with the gunman in the westerns who's a robot or something. You can tell I'm enthralled by that. Anyway, ta-ta everyone, see you soon.
Here's Mr. Ben Shoveler.
Oh, hi Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
Hello. Yes, just in the nick of time, too. Brilliant stuff.
Now, what about by the way, Adam, there was a a joke that I'm not sure everybody got. When the Williams are gonna fly the ship and the Doctor says, "Oh, it's so easy, a monkey could do it." And nobody reacts. I just wonder if anybody got it.
No, I didn't get it.
Because even the Doctor stood there for a minute and said, "Hey, you know, this is a golden moment here." Well, because it's a Silurian ship. And how they always insult the humans as being descended from apes.
So you were wide awake when you watched this episode.
No, this was the second time with the captions on.
Now, we'll say,
I heard that one, yeah.
I will say, when he said about the Weeping Angels and Amy, I don't think she could turn into a Dalek, but I think that if the Weeping Angels are going to be involved in it, if they might have been turned back into the classic style Weeping Angels, and she just gets taken back somewhere in time, and which will then prevent her.
I think she's got a theory.
But then she could be rescued from time.
Yeah. They're going to end up with a child and raising that child in the past.
Yeah, but that's what you say. Did you say
in
Robert?
The bath?
Shut up.
Past.
Robert,
past.
You said they could go back and try and rescue, but they couldn't do it because he could have gone back and rescued. You know, other people that have been transported back, like the chap, you know, when because without that chief inspector, whatever it was, who had to live his life right to his death, so as he could deliver the message to Sally Sparrow.
The DVDs,
That otherwise time wouldn't have taken its course. So I don't think he can do. But there you go.
I've got a theory about what'll happen to Amy.
Go on then.
My theory is that. In Time of Angels and Flesh and Stone, Amy looked into the eyes of an angel, and she had an angel in her eye. We saw.
Yes, we did.
And
yes.
We don't know if that's entirely gone, and maybe she might end up looking in their eye again and turn into an angel or something along those
lines.
That's
another very good point. Maybe all the angels are Amy. Maybe she's in some way the beginning and the end of the race of angels, or possibly not. We'll find out, won't we?
We will.
Yes.
Well, we all.
There is a baby angel.
Who's playing the guitar?
We're gonna sing out. Thanks everybody for joining the show this week. Obviously, I presume we're going to be recording on Sunday next week as well. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. By me.
Cool.
I will be on call next that Sunday. So.
Oh, do you want to do Monday?
My presence is just kind of up in the air.
Okay. Well,
I don't know.
What would you prefer, Mary?
Well, I would prefer to, if I have the chance, to be on the whole podcast, so I guess I would still choose Sunday.
Okay, we'll go for Sunday then, and until next week,
thank you
very much. Everybody who's contributed in the show. Can we have some more contributors, please, you naughty people who have opted out of sending in messages? I'm not going to say the word you'd like to make stupid noises over. Messages.
Hi, this is Lou Jameson, or Louise Jameson, listen, and you're listening to the 20 Megabytes Doctor Who podcast. Hurrah!
And once again, we get the six-year-old angle of this week's Doctor Who from... Oh, dear, what's your name?
Isabella.
So, Isabella, what did you think of Doctor Who this week?
Good.
Pardon?
Good.
And can you remember the story?
dinosaurs in the spaceship.
And how did the dinosaurs get into the spaceship? You don't know, because they were already there, weren't they? The Silurians actually put the dinosaurs in the spaceship. So, was there any scary bits? Were there any bits that upset you? So not even when the Triceratops got killed by the robots? You liked that bit, did you?
No.
So it did upset you? Yeah, because you're quite sentimental, aren't you? Right, go on, tell us the story then, what you remember of it. Because I reckon you're not going to remember the story because you were too busy playing with your plastic coins whilst it was on this morning, wasn't it? Go on.
Plastic.
What are they made of then?
Coins.
All right, so what happened? Can you remember the story? Tell me the story as briefly as you like. Go on. What?
I don't know it.
You don't know it? Is that because you weren't actually watching it? So what you're trying to say is the bits you did watch you enjoyed, but you don't remember the story because you weren't really watching it. Do you remember what you liked about it? What?
I like the bit when the dinosaur licked Rory's father.
Oh, that's right, yes, when he licked his face. Like that bit. That was funny, that bit. Weren't there any other funny bits? No? Okay.
This one.
So it proves you watched a bit of it, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Isabella. See you next week. Bye.
And I finally managed to get hold of Alicia. Don't touch it.
I'm not touching it.
Now, last week you said that Asylum of the Daleks was your favourite story. So how does...
No.
I haven't finished the title yet.
I know what you're going to say, because I've waited.
On the spaceship. How does that compare?
It's alright, I suppose. It's like one of those... Not an amazing story, but it's quite a nice one to fill in if you get bored, if you get what I mean. You think, oh, I'm going to pull out that one because I want to watch it, if you get what I mean.
I think it's a little bit better than just a common old garden story.
Yeah. A bit better than a garden story, but still not something you think, oh my God, yes, love.
Well, I found
it was really, really good. I did actually quite like it, and it was really, really good, and I enjoyed it.
I did find it quite difficult trying to decide which one I like best, and it might be a case that it's depending on what mood I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think of Rory's dad?
Funny.
Do you think he's a worthy addition to the cast?
Yes.
Do you think he'll be back?
Yes.
Oh, well, there you go then. And,
surely we saw him, a quick glimpse of him at the wedding. When they did the wedding scene.
He wasn't in that episode.
Oh.
Only Amy's parents were in that episode. We didn't see Rory's parents close up anyway.
Yeah.
Yes. But anyway.
Pause it.
So you liked it?
Pause it, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Alicia. Goodbye.
Bye.
We're going to play out the podcast with Robert's rendition of the theme tune. Thanks very much, and see you next week. Goodbye.
How's it go again?
Bye.
Bye.
Oh no.
Something like that.
Ah. Forget it.
The 20-number Doctor Who podcast is an ABP Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended. I did it!